Artesia Community College, Trickle Down, Ohio.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. National Lampoon has been a hallmark title and brand in satirical comedy ever since I can remember. My next guest has been a part of its legendary past and now its hysterical present. Are there any triggers yet? Is the Lampoon's first original album in 35 years? It is great to say hello to Tony Hendra. Tony, welcome to the show. It is terrific to have you on. Now, are there any triggers here? I listened to a preview last night. It is laugh-out-loud funny. Tell us all about it.
Well, the full title is actually, Are There Any Triggers Here Tonight? And it's basically, it takes the form of, well, let me just background this a little bit. I mean, it's one of the problems that comedians and comedy has these days is that college campus has become incredibly oversensitized to all kinds of issues, which makes it very hard to be a satirist in this day and age. So we thought it would be amusing to actually create a supposed college concert. We do at a small college in Ohio, mm-hmm. And immediately they start taking offense just at the title, because of the trigger warnings and the microaggressions and so on that we're already committing. And there's this very negative reaction, and somebody shouts out, accuses us of using sarcasm, and I say, how dare you? Yes, and I sarcastically say that hurts my feelings, and there's an even more negative reaction, and someone defends the heckler by shouting that he's a sarcasm survivor. And it goes on like that. But we soldier on and do our show anyway, and get doing, the kind of satire that I'm sure you sampled.
Sure.
And in fact, pushing it up stronger and stronger until finally we've cleared the whole place and there's nothing to be heard except the proverbial cricket.
Isn't it amazing, though, how they all want to run off to their own safe zones? They actually have safe zones in college now. You know what? I needed a safe zone during my final exams. They never had one for me. And there have been other comedians. It's like Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, they've said you can't go work at a college anymore. You can't say anything anymore.
These are supposed to be the centers of free thinking.
Right.
You certainly can't. But the whole thing about, one of the serious points we're trying to make here is that, you have trigger warnings about something in an article that might revive horrible feelings. But at the same time, there's 300 million triggers out there and a lot of itchy fingers waiting to pull them. So you might want to worry about those.
That's exactly right.
Rather than what's in an article.
Some of the targets include the TSA. That one is hysterical. The CIA, Kim Kardashian's rear end, Elmo's cocaine habit. All right. Now, this is as educational as it is entertaining. Tony, I never knew that Elmo was on the blow. I never did.
Well, he didn't until they went to HBO and the home of Breaking Bad. They never even heard of drugs, but now it's all over.
So 123 Sesame Street is now a meth lab. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Well, see, that's what happens. This is an offshoot from the final edition, the syndicated radio sketch show from you and Jeff Kreisler. There is such an endless boundary of what you can do with audio comedy. Which do you prefer, writing for the ear or the eye and the ear? What's the difference?
Oh, I massively prefer writing for the ear. I think audio is so much more interesting as a satirical vehicle than video. And I wouldn't go so far as to say that I feel the same way about writing, since I'm a writer.
Right.
But I think audio has this wonderful immersive drawing in of the listener where you're using her imagination to create the scene that you're creating. So if for instance you want to put Pope Francis on the moon and do a sketch about that somehow, you can do it with a couple of sound effects. And you could never do that in video.
No.
And so it's I think it's a miraculous medium for satire. It's one of the reasons why I've always been so interested in audio. I mean, the Lampoon, I did the first three of the Lampoon sound albums, and they were some of the most popular things we ever did,
mm-hmm.
and of course led to the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Sure.
So this is supposed to be really, in fact, it is, I think, an extension of that. It's like going back to the glory days of the Lampoon, but applying all those wicked techniques that we used before against the sensitivities and injustices of the 21st century.
And it's sort of a reintroduction of what audio entertainment can be. Like you said, you are only limited by what your mind can think up. Your mind can take you and your pen can take you anywhere. And then when you produce it for audio consumption, and that's really been lost. And it's one of the things we try to do on this show. And it's amazing how audio entertainment, especially, let's say, talk radio. I mean, talk radio has been, we know what it is. It's just this diatribe that goes on and on and on and on. And it's just angry guys all the time. It's like, oh, my God. I mean, can we at least have some fun on the radio again? And can audio, because audio is going off now, not just radio, but we got podcasts and everything else. There is an opportunity. There is a satire. There is a comedy frontier that has yet to be discovered. And it's good that there are things like this that aren't afraid to explore things, especially in this age. Tony, we know that we are so PC. You can't say anything because you're going to offend somebody in Wichita and she's going to take the whole thing down. We cannot be held back like that anymore.
No, it's true. But right. I think the point you're making is wonderful, which has not been made for a long time, which is that this kind of comedy is far more sort of immersive and even than the comedy or the comedy podcasts that we listen to, which are, tend to be two funny guys being funny mm-hmm. to one another, don't they? I mean, that's what most comedy podcasts are these days. So we just thought we would go in a different direction and do more classic stuff.
And what I like, too, is it's longer-form comedy. We keep hearing, oh, everybody's attention span is only 2.5 seconds right now, so you have to program for that. No. When you listen to this, the one bit that jumped out at me, and people will hear, the TSA bit. I mean, I love it because it builds essentially on one common theme of having your testicles irradiated by the TSA. But it builds through the entire segment, and that's what comedy is. You're able to flesh something out, no pun intended, but at the same time, you're able to get a point across. Not everything has to be 10 seconds long.
Yes, which is certainly the rule in video. I mean, you can't do video. If video is a minute long, it's too long now. I mean, it's just insane. And since we've tried to do video, it's just not. It doesn't suit our
right.
way of thinking.
Yeah. Now, I want to go back a little bit in your career. You produced, directed, and co-wrote Lemmings back in the mid-70s. That was so groundbreaking. Working with John Belushi, Chevy Chase, Christopher Guest. Oh, my God. I mean, you talk about all this collaborative talent in one place at one time. That is such an amazing thing. And I think I've heard, isn't there like a Lemmings 2.0 in the works right now?
Well, yes, actually, to give a shout out to the National Lampoon here, as I'm sure you are aware, many people are, the National Lampoon for most of the last 20 years has been run by morons and criminals.
Okay.
I mean, in the case of the last proprietors, but one, actually real criminals who went to jail for one of them for 4.5 years and the other one for 50 years for massive fraud. But the current
Well, the one with 4.5 years, he must have had a much better attorney than the guy who had got 50 in the can, right?
Yeah, well, he hadn't stolen quite as much as the other guy who stole something like $216 million from not very well-off families
in
Ohio.
That explains that.
But anyway, so, and I approached the... I heard this from a mutual friend, and so I approached these new guys. And my whole idea in approaching them was to revive Lemmings and do it for 2016 or 2017. So yes, there is it is in the works. It's one of the projects that we're putting together at the moment, and I think it could be wonderful to take that spirit of satire and reverence towards the music scene in all its aspects and do an updated version. I think it'd be fantastic.
When you think back to the original Lemmings, and you're sitting there, and you're working in the rehearsal hall with Belushi, Chase, and Guest, did it hit you as to how much talent there really was in that one place at that one time?
Well, I mean, obviously, I couldn't see the future that they would all achieve. But of all of them, all of them were in their own ways were really brilliant. Brilliant guys, and I certainly counted myself lucky as above all to have Belushi, because Belushi was sort of raw and untapped at that point, and he was just an amazingly funny kid, and he sort of provided the whole he filled the room with sort of this rock humor energy, I knew he had a huge future.
Isn't it amazing with talent? I mean, somebody walks into the room, in that case like him, even if it's raw, if it's undeveloped, if it's there, you can sense it and you know it's there.
Oh, yeah. absolutely. And you have to act on it, too. You can't say, well, I'll give this a think.
Sure.
You know, you have to go, yep, that's it. I want him. I want her, you know.
Well, once again, are there any triggers here tonight? It's available by going to thefinaledition.com, also at CD Baby and iTunes. Tony Hendra, this has been quite a thrill. Best of luck with the album. Thank you so much for joining us here
on
America Weekend.
Great interview.
Thank you so much. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalegi, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network. Still to come, Mark Leonard talking about the film Maggie's Place, and later, Michelle Gerson is in, and we will play the fake news headline game.
With you, the actual sounds planets make as charged electromagnetic particles from solar winds bounce back to Earth, affecting our weather and communications from 2.8 million miles away. We've relied on the Mars Climate Orbiter to give our scientists a greater understanding of how natural forces work on our own planet. The Romans named Mars for their god of war, and human sacrifice was thought the only way to make Mars happy. Now we think Mars was once pummeled by floods and living water, but now we're sure life did exist as we look to rescue Earth through understanding its neighbors.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Follow your passion is bad advice, says William McCaskill, an ethicist at Oxford and Princeton.
Instead, he suggests, do something valuable. Research shows you'll be happier at work if what you do makes a difference in the lives of others.
Further research shows that the bigger the difference you feel you make, the better you'll perform. Better performance, of course, likely leads to better pay.
So where do you start? Stop trying to find yourself. It's too abstract. Stop fighting for money, fame, power, and status. There's too much competition. Instead, find a problem you can solve.
Then people will help you as you make a difference in the lives of others. That's Big Success.
Find Big Success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.